Have you ever been in a conversation and you are getting ready to say something that's going to be very insightful or ask a really great deep question and it goes blank? You totally forget what you're about to say. Well, that happened during our conversation today with our special guest, Chris Hines. And I knew it was good and I totally blanked out on what I wanted to say. You'll hear that in the podcast. And I'm pretty sure I'm not alone. Please let me know I'm not alone in that happening. But it was after I finished the recording and we were just having a quick conversation afterwards that it dawned on me what I wanted to say. And it really didn't have to do with our topic of conversation today, because Chris and I got into a conversation on the differences and similarities of CliftonStrengths versus the Enneagram, because he is certified in both of those. But he was also sharing a lot, and we were talking a lot about just our life calling, which is Chris's area of expertise, but also how just going on our own self-discovery course led to, for him, he mentioned that he had doors open up, and then he talked about being in alignment. And that was what I had wanted to share that I forgot earlier. Was that's the beautiful thing. When we go on these self-discovery explorations, and or maybe it's just we just want to tweak some things at our current job, our current career, or maybe it is we're looking for a whole nother job or career, but we know we're on the right path when we just have this overall feeling of things just feel more in alignment. It's not as stressful as it once had been. Doesn't mean there's never stress in our lives. That really is never going to happen. But you just have that more peace about it. Also, the huge thing is that doors start to open up. And that's the real key to me when we know we're on the right path and we're doing the thing that God has called us to do, because doors start open up versus if you're in a place where you feel like doors are slamming on you and you got to push it so hard to open it up, or maybe even sometimes you feel like you're hitting a brick wall, it's time to really do some deep self-discovery. And on that note, I want to introduce our guest for today, because that's what we talked about. And that's the beautiful thing, whether you take CliftonStrengths or you take the Enneagram, or better yet, you do both, which hopefully I feel like after this conversation with Chris, you will feel like me. It's like, okay, I can see where they both are useful. Do some self-discovery. Take the time to do that. So let me tell you a little bit about Chris Hines. He is a coach, trainer, and writer who helps people to know themselves, serve others, and live their life calling. He is the former chief people officer for Energy Cap LLC and now leads Chris Hines Co. full-time. Chris is certified in CliftonStrengths and the Enneagram. He is a top-rated learning partner for Penn State, founder of the Life Calling Institute, host of the Life Calling Today podcast, and published author. So sit back and enjoy this insightful conversation with Chris. Welcome to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast, where we are changing the wave of the future. Like it or not, the world has changed. And as an exceptional leader, you have to change with it or risk being left behind. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I'm here to help you navigate this new leadership style. Inside the podcast, you'll discover what your team really wants and needs from you, how to tap into your God-given talents, how to increase your productivity with a strengths-based team, and how to realign with your North Star to truly enjoy your work and your life. This podcast will inspire and empower you today so you can elevate your influence into the future. If you're ready to step out of your comfort zone, then untie those dock lines and jump on board as we begin navigating your leadership. Welcome back to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast. This is your host, Sherry Miter, and I am thrilled to welcome our guest today, who is another Gallup Certified Strengths Coach, Chris Hines. And he's also an expert not only in strengths, but also in Enneagram. And that conversation is going to at least start talking about. And if you listen to any of my podcasts, you know sometimes we go in a whole nother direction. So who knows where the conversation will end up, but I'm excited to welcome you to the show, Chris.
Hey, Sherry. Good morning. And listeners, I'm glad to be with you today.
So, and Chris also has a podcast as well, which I highly recommend. And what's the name of your podcast? Just so we don't forget that later, Chris.
It is called Life Calling Today. We most recently did have another strengths coach on there. We've actually had a couple certified strengths coaches on there. And so we talk about life calling and purpose and strengths and sort of how it all works together.
Wonderful. And I love that in the strengths community, that there is so much collaboration within the strengths coaches, because even though we have that common thread of being Gallup certified coaches, we all have our own spin on it, our own experience that we bring to the table, and our own direction where we take the strengths, because strengths is so valuable in so many aspects of people's lives, whether it's relationships, health, career calling, leadership, teamwork. So what I'd love to start with before I totally get off on another tangent is tell us a little bit about who is Chris Hines? How did you get to this place where you are in life today?
Yeah, great question, Sherry. So I will try to keep this short, because it could go long. So for years and years, I was in sales and marketing for the family business, a software company of about 60 employees. And a few years ago, about 5 years ago, I was looking at turning 40. And I hit this stage when I was like, oh, I'm not sure I want to keep doing this for the rest of my life. You know, it was kind of a bit of a crisis of identity and of work. And so I started a discovery process. Strengths was part of that, where I really dug in and thought, when did I feel most alive? What kind of impact do I want to make? What am I good at? And I really ended up on the track of people development, helping people grow. But the problem was my job didn't really support that. I was in sales and marketing. I decided what I wanted to do was become a coach and help people become more of who they are, help them take next steps. Well, thankfully, the human resources position opened up at Energy Cap, and I was able to slide right into that because of my emphasis on personal growth and development. I immediately got certified in Clifton Strengths, rolled out an engagement program, and began helping people grow kind of on an organizational level. What happened at that point was kind of word spread in our town. I live where Penn State University is headquartered. They needed someone to come in and do strengths. And so all these opportunities started opening up, not just in my company, but, you know, outside of the company as well. And so that opened up all sorts of doors. And I was able to do both my human resources role and on the side, do the strengths work. And so I began developing my own business, Chris Hines Co. on the side. Fast forward to now, 5 years later, very fulfilling, a lot of growth. But I decided, hey, I want to do this growth stuff full time outside of the company. I don't want to just sort of juggle both roles. And so now I'm full time for my own business, Chris Hines Co. And I, in addition to strengths, have got turned on to the topic of life calling, because self-awareness through strengths is an integral part of understanding your life calling. So now, today, I'm founder of the Life Calling Institute, where we help folks explore calling. And I also do quite a bit of work around strengths.
I love that. And I love that you have the Life Calling Institute. That sounds so cool.
Yeah, we're just starting out. We're just starting out, but we are excited for where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's such a valuable tool right now, because so many people, and I know you talk about this in your podcast as well, but especially with COVID, I mean, even before COVID, I think there's so many people that are looking for that what's next, I used to call it, because, you know, when we turn, today's retirement doesn't look like it did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, for sure. It's not retiring and sitting in the rocking chair. Sometimes it's that retiring and like, okay, I still have a lot left in me, actually probably more than I ever gave. So what can I do next? And then with COVID on top of that, people are looking even earlier now of like, okay, that's whether by choice or not, they're realizing what they've been doing isn't what they want to continue to do anymore. So
yeah, there's this dynamic called the Great Resignation,
yes,
which folks talk about, right? Where folks are like, hey, I'm not willing to sacrifice these certain values or ways of life for a job. I want to do meaningful work. And yeah, you're right, Sherry. A lot of people are asking the question, why am I here? How do I feel fulfilled? What impact do I want to make on the world?
Mm-hmm. And I love that. It's interesting because prior to, we just rebranded the podcast to Navigating Your Leadership. And prior to that, it was Uncharted Entrepreneurs. And actually, my original plan a year and a half ago was similar to what you're doing now. And then I just realized that wasn't my calling. My calling was more of how do we make people, okay, you're in this job, you like this job, how do we make it even better, mm-hmm. more productive? So it's like, I'm going to work mm-hmm. with the people who want to stay where they are. And if they don't, they yeah. can call you to go figure out what's next, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right. There's different ways to look at one's work and job. And sometimes the answer is turn it into more of a calling. There's actually a really great book I'd commend to you, Sherry, and your listeners called Make Your Job a Calling. Mm. And this book is the idea of if you can turn your current work into more of a calling mindset, there are wins all around. And so maybe some of your listeners would be interested in that. Make Your Job a Calling.
Oh, I'll definitely check that out. So what are your top five strengths, Chris?
Yeah. So my top five Clifton strengths are belief, maximizer, responsibility, empathy, and developer.
Mm, so I could see where those definitely probably help you really hear people and show them the direction of their life calling. And now I see why with belief number one, I know before we hit the record, we were just talking a little bit about how we both love to integrate our faith into our businesses. And that totally mm-hmm. makes sense. You do that with belief as your number one. And I know we were just talking briefly beforehand too about that you did take, I get asked this question a lot. Should I retake my strengths? It's been a while. And you did retake it. Can we just talk briefly about that before we do jump into our actual topic of the day?
Yeah, definitely. Well, last fall, so like a year ago, I went through this kind of awakening, which was a series of events. And it actually started, my wife for my birthday gave me this book called Dream Big by this author named Bob Goff. By the way, this is kind of interesting. So on November 2nd, I'm doing the Life Calling Virtual Summit with Bob Goff. And so that's a free event. I want to encourage anyone to go to lifecallingsummit.com for you to sign up. We're going to help you dream, discover, and dare around the issue of life calling. So go there. But this whole stream of events happened with this book called Dream Big. It just got me asking questions about my life, where it was headed, the kinds of ambitions that I had. And it was something that God really did. He unpacked me and I felt a bit apprehended by him. And I looked at myself in a new way and realized I was really limiting myself through some self-limiting beliefs, which were then giving rise to some self-limiting behaviors. And so it was this like big aha awakening kind of a thing. And so part of that was retaking the Clifton Strengths Assessment, which I had taken in 2007. So this is now about 14 years later. And so I decided to retake that as well as looking at the Enneagram in a different way, which you and I will get to. And what's interesting about retaking that was retaking the Clifton Strengths Assessment is that my top 10, probably 50% of the themes changed. Whereas before, compared to now, 50% different. So that was pretty significant, I think, in terms of a change.
Yeah, that's a big change. And I know Gallup always usually says not to, unless you're going through different major life situations, that it usually won't change that much. So I found that very fascinating that yours did. Why do you think that is? I'm just kind of curious about that now. Like, what were you doing in 2007 and versus today?
Yeah. 2007, I was in a marketing leadership role where it was a lot of kind of project management and leading people. It wasn't very focused in individual development. I was marketing software. And so I think what's different today is I am pushing out some new ideas. I'm leading a whole charge, my own company. I think that's different today. I have a lot more autonomy today than I did before. So I think that's different. But what's interesting is if you look at the domains, you know, the executing, relating to people, thinking, and influencing folks, the domains are pretty set from my 10. It's just the individual themes tended to change. One big difference too is before I had to go like to number 12 to get a thinking talent. Today, ideation is like number 7 for me. And so ideation moved up a lot, thinking moved up a lot, but the domains stayed pretty fixed. It was just a matter of how I live out those domains.
So what do you lead with? What is your top domain?
My top domain is, I'd say if you look at the top 10, it's more relationship than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've got relationship and influencing as the main ones. And so those both are in the realm of relationship. Yeah.
That's a great combination. Relationship and influencing. That's a really cool combination to have. I'm influencing is strategic, but I see like a lot. I feel like that's common to have those, but relationship and influencing.
Yeah. And this is where I'm grateful to have the full 34. For so long, I lived from my top 5 and I only saw myself as an executor and relationship because those were the only domains in my top 5. And then I got curious about what's beyond my top 5. And if you look at the top 10, it's actually more, like I said, influencing and relating. It's executing is there. That helps me get stuff done. And everyone who knows me knows I'm pretty productive and I get things done. So I'm thankful and grateful for those talents. But primarily, I live from relating and influencing. Had I not known that, I don't think I'd be as maybe forward moving as I am.
That makes sense. That totally makes sense. And I can see now why you're probably amazing at coaching, but yet can also do like the summit that you were speaking of, because that takes a lot of influencing. So to have that, the two of them put together, yeah, that's pretty impactful. So let's get into our topic here. And you already kind of alluded. So you're on the personal discovery. How do you feel like, first of all, both knowing the strengths, kind of going from your journey and probably what you take your clients through, how strengths and the Enneagram work well together? Let's maybe start there.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I appreciate both tools. And I was into strengths for years before I was into the Enneagram. So I really love strengths. I predominantly use strengths. I found that the Enneagram just helped to fill in the picture a bit for who a person is. I look at strengths as your talents, as your sort of how you're going about life. I think the Enneagram is more about your drive, your motivation, kind of why you're going about it. And so together, you have the talent and the drive. You've got the how, you've got the why. And so it just kind of fills in the picture about who a person is, what motivates them, and how they go about doing it.
Okay. I like that. Definitely, you know, the way you clarify that. And if somebody wasn't familiar, they hear me talk about strengths a lot, but if somebody wasn't familiar with the Enneagram, what would be a quick way to describe what that assessment is and that tool is?
Well, Clifton Strengths, as you know, has 34 talent themes, which help to explain a person's, you know, inherent, innate, God-given talents. The Enneagram is a personality profile system around 9 drives or 9 personality types. And what's interesting about the Enneagram is it's totally open source. No one owns the Enneagram. And so lately you see a lot of innovation and thought kind of around it. And so in a way, there's folks are a lot more free to kind of teach it and use it than they are Clifton Strengths, because it is owned and it's, you know, proprietary information. And so the Enneagram helps helps you understand your core motivations, your, you know, feelings, behavior styles, communication styles, all centered around these 9 different personality styles.
Okay. And I'm just thinking, so you, with the fact that Gallup does own strengths, obviously there's a lot of regulation and you have to become the certified coach. I mean, they do allow others to use it within their, even before I was certified, I was using Gallup or using strengths. But with the Enneagram, that probably causes a lot of like really great innovation, but also some like, is that really?
No, it's a great, great point. Yeah. You have to be careful about how it's being used. I mean, I personally wouldn't agree or sort of recommend to people, endorse to people some of the ways the Enneagram's being used in today's world. Not everyone's comfortable with how it's being used. And so same with me. What I would do is understand who's behind this teaching, how is it being used. That's actually a reason why I like to develop kind of my own stuff and point people in that direction. Cause I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm not the, you know, the expert on everything, but I trust kind of the process I go through to kind of get information out there. I often have questions about how valid is this really from strengths-minded people. You know, because we take the Clifton Strengths Assessment, we recommend it to people, we kind of expect it to have the same validity factor and reliability because we put so much trust in Clifton Strengths. I don't have the same level of trust factor in the Enneagram assessments out there. And there are many. You can find lots of free Enneagram assessments. I don't think an assessment is the only way to understand and identify your Enneagram drive. It is a journey and a process that is best done in community, done in time, and done with a coach. Whereas Clifton Strengths, you can pretty much hand someone the Clifton Strengths assessment and you trust the results right away. You don't question it. I would not say the same thing about the Enneagram. If you're going to dive into the Enneagram, expect to work at it. Expect to ask yourself some deep questions, expect to go on more of a journey. I think for strengths, the journey is more, okay, here's my talents. How do I turn them into strengths? How do I aim them toward my work? That's really more where the journey is. I think for the Enneagram, there's a huge journey in just first identifying which of your of the 9 types is your core type or your core drive. And the growth goes from there. So we need to be careful, those of us who know strengths and the Enneagram, we need to be careful not to ascribe the same power or the same rules, principles in using one over the other. They are different tools.
That's really insightful. So how do they, you kind of already talked a little bit about this, but how would you say that they are similar? And then you kind of are, well, I guess you really kind of talked about how they do differ already, but how would you say they are similar and what aspects?
Well, they're similar in that they're both, you know, personality tools. So within the whole realm of a tool, they're personality tools. So they're similar there. They can help us understand ourselves better, you know, in terms of self-awareness. I think there's a journey involved with both of them. And, you know, I think they both benefit from the presence of a coach and from a community. And I do think there are workplace value. There's workplace value from both, just as there's personal and home life value from both. And there are assessments around both of them. But like I said, there's some variability in how well you're going to trust those assessments. I also think that if you really want to grow from both of them, you need to dig in. Like you got to do some work. You can't just take an assessment and be like, I'm good, I'm done. No, there's work involved here. So I think those are some of the ways they're similar. Plus, I would also add, there are communities of people who are passionate about both tools.
Mm-hmm. Right. I love the community aspect because it's so true. And when you have that and somebody else that understands the language or you can bounce ideas off of or get more clarification. And even just, you know, when we always ask, you know, what's your top five? If you're talking to somebody that is familiar with strengths, it's so fun to kind of not compare in a, oh, they have this, I don't have that, but just how they use it and see the differences in that conversation, have a conversation about things.
Let me say, Sherry, one more area of alignment that I've seen with them both is this. So we know that Gallup defines talent as naturally recurring patterns of thought, feeling, and behavior that can be productively applied. So you hear those three modes of living, thought, feeling, and behavior. In the Enneagram, there's this principle of what's called centers of intelligence, which basically means we live from our head, from our heart, and also from our instinct or our gut. Okay, centers of intelligence. And each of the nine types live from a different center of intelligence. So this aligns with Gallup's definition of talent. You might remember Gallup's definition says feeling, thinking, or behaving. That really aligns with these three centers of intelligence of head, thinking, heart, can be feeling or relating, and gut instinct, which is kind of doing. So I think they both agree that there are these three modes of living in life. What we want to do is kind of learn how to be healthy in those areas.
I love that. Love that a lot. And I had a friend mentor once, and he had spent really a year of doing all the different assessments. And I just remember having this conversation with him. He was in such this great place of peace and inner strength because what he had said was that he just spent this last year really discovering who he was at his core, at his best. And now he felt so much more, and he was already an amazing at his job, amazing coach, mentor, but he was like, I feel so much more ready now. I don't know if that makes grammatical sense, but more ready. I don't know, pour into others because he was so in alignment with who he was at his absolute best. And I just, that has always stuck with me. I think I heard that like 3 or 4 years ago, we had that conversation. So I don't think we can ever take I shouldn't say never, because there probably are some assessments out there that don't need to be bothered taking, but for the core right. ones that do have at least some validity to them, to know who we are. So we can turn around and give to others. And another thing you said about going deeper with both of them, I could not agree more is, and I did this myself with the strengths. I took it in 2016 for the first time, and I don't remember why I took it, but I never did a thing with it. I probably was one of those people, which probably a lot of people listening may be in that arena of you read it, whether it's the Enneagram and the strengths, you read the description, like, oh, that's interesting. Yep, they got me pretty spot on. That sounds about right. And that's the end of it.
Yeah, you're right.
And at that point, it's purely an assessment. It's not a tool. Mm-hmm. And to make it a tool, you have to pick it up and use it. And like you said, dive in, you know, use a coach, use a community, use your own personal self-discovery with it. So I think that is, no matter what assessment you're talking about, it, you know, instead of just taking it and agreeing with it.
Yeah, and that's what happened to me last year as part of this awakening, is I had seen myself as a type 9 on the Enneagram. Core drive there is to be at peace. And for a couple of years, I saw myself that way. I was teaching the Enneagram and everything. But I realized through this awakening last fall, no, I'm really a type 3, core drive to succeed. It was a huge, huge moment of revelation for me. And I got to tell you, because I went deeper in my true type and therefore my true drive and motivation, the whole world has opened up to me. Like I am at peace generally still, but I know what I'm here for. All this work opened up for me because I really came to see myself as I am and started living from that. And so for me, yeah, it was a little bit embarrassing to admit, like, I'm teaching the Enneagram to people and I've mistyped myself, but it just kind of goes to show you it is a journey. And we understand ourselves only through a dim glass, you know, and we need really revelation from God, I believe, to show us who we are. And so now that I've come to that place of more fullness, like your friend has come to, and I see myself more for who I am, like my work life has opened up and I have a clearer vision about what I'm here to do.
Mm, isn't that such a great feeling when you have that?
Yes,
you feel definitely. That? Mm-hmm. Oh, I had a question that just went out of my head. That's not a good feeling to have. Oh, it was good too. Oh, so if somebody's listening to this and maybe they're new to both, maybe they haven't even taken their strengths assessment, or maybe they have, but they haven't dove into it. And maybe they, same thing, maybe they have or have not even really looked at the Enneagram. And they're thinking, okay, I want that piece. I want that self-discovery. Which one do they start with first?
I think starting with strengths is better. And that's what I usually recommend, because coaches ask me all the time, you know, we run this Enneagram for Strength Coaches boot camp several times a year. We're in one right now. We're about to finish that up. So I meet strengths enthusiasts and Enneagram enthusiasts, you know, all the time, who want to use these tools for helping professions. And so I get this question a lot. What I will usually say is, go with what the client is looking for. If the client is looking for more performance improvement, I would go with strengths first. But if a client is going more for, hey, why are my emotions like totally whacked out? like I had someone recently come to me for that. Or, you know, I just don't understand what makes me tick. I would shoot for the Enneagram on that one. So basically one of the differences between tools, I see Clifton Strengths is more about performance and satisfaction. I think of the Enneagram more as motivation and well-being. But I think that Strengths is simpler generally to understand. There's less questions around it. And the Enneagram, gosh, it takes you deep. It's a vulnerable type of tool, because you can talk about what are masking behaviors I get into. Like, what are serious shortfalls I live into because of my drive? I mean, it's a deep tool. And so with a new client, you may not want to start there because it might freak them out a little bit. And so I do default to strengths first. But I think if people have heard about the Enneagram and they kind of come to you because of there's this trend out there toward the Enneagram and they're curious, I mean, I would lead with that if that's what the client wants. But if my choice, if the choice is mine, I would do strengths first.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, do you find with the strengths, because we talk about the bring need. Mm-hmm. How does that align with the Enneagram? Or does it?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Yeah. So the bring need. So for example, we'll just say for responsibility, because that's in my top five. I know that what I bring is a thoroughness. I bring an ownership over the work. It's going to get done. I bring my whole self to that work. What I need is autonomy, you know, to deliver. I need the right resources. I need clear expectations. So that's what I bring and need for my responsibility talent theme. The Enneagram, I think, is a little bit different in that, we'll say for me as a type three, my core motivation is to succeed. And so I want to accomplish big things. I have ambitions. I want to be seen as successful, seen as proficient. And so you can actually see how that responsibility theme helps reinforce that drive to succeed, right? Because I don't want to let people down. I want to be seen as proficient and competent in responsibility theme. That is how I build that road to success and living out that drive. So I think of strengths, bring, and need as building blocks on the way to the deeper motivation, which is through the Enneagram, in my case, the type three to succeed. So what's been fascinating, we did a correlation study between strengths and the Enneagram. Last year, I got some data analysts together. We got about 500 people's worth of data where they submitted their top five themes, and then they submitted their core Enneagram drive. And granted, this was all self-reported. So we were trusting people. And then we crunched the numbers and we found some very clear correlations between certain drives and types and certain strengths themes. And so what this shows is that there are some pretty common building blocks of talent and strengths that people employ to live out their core motivation as identified by the Enneagram type.
That's fascinating. I think you have that on, I saw that briefly on your website, right? If somebody wanted to dive, if they were curious to learn more about that study, is
Yeah, everyone, I have tons of resources around strengths and Enneagram and actually employee engagement and life calling and all sorts of stuff. If you go to chrishines.com/resources, that's chrishines.com/resources, you'll find this comparative study between strengths and the Enneagram. And I would encourage you to download that and see what you learn. As part of that study, by the way, too, there's a lot to unpack in the study. And so there's an, I think it's a 21-day email series that you'll just automatically get where every day we unpack a different insight from that study.
Fascinating. Well, as usual, the time flies by for these interviews. So it is time to wrap things up. But is there anything else that we didn't cover regarding the strengths and Enneagram that you would like to mention?
Yeah, I think one point, Sherry, is that I think for each of these tools, they're underutilized in certain parts of life, which means for those of us as coaches or in helping professions, there's great opportunity for us to lean into these underutilized areas. I think, for example, for Clifton Strengths, I think our personal lives, relationships, causes, hobbies, large part our Clifton Strengths are underutilized in our personal lives. We tend to look at Clifton Strengths as a workplace performance tool, an engagement tool, but we can sometimes ignore the place of it in our personal lives. I think for the Enneagram, an underutilized space is the workplace, because we do see this as more of a personal tool. Some people see it as more of a psychological or spiritual tool, but it is being used today in the workplace. Johnson & Johnson, Salesforce uses it in their hiring process. Stanford Business School, I mean, lots of places use the Enneagram as a workplace. I'm actually doing some Enneagram workshops for this learning development company coming up pretty soon. That's a workplace. And so for you as a coach, if you're looking for ways to expand your market and clientele, I would say, hey, if you're Clifton Strengths-minded, lean more into expanding personal life services. And if you want to get into the Enneagram, lean more into workplace services, because I think that the harvest is ripe in both of these areas for these tools.
Great insight. And I have to say, after this conversation, you raised the Enneagram up a level in professionalism for me today. So it's always been one, I was like, I don't know how I feel about it. So thank you for that and bringing it to it. And now I'm going to have to go back and take that, because I think it was a 7. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there is a lot of 3 in me too. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, both of those are forward moving types. And so we can, we can look like one another here. If anyone's interested in validity studies of the Enneagram, feel free to email me at chris@chrishines.com. chris@chrishines.com. I've got a couple of really good Enneagram validity studies that I'd be happy to email you. And like Sherry said, maybe today's episode raised the bar a little bit on the Enneagram. And if so, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because as we both have shared, you really can't learn too much about yourself. You really can't. Well, Chris, this has definitely been an insightful and delightful conversation. And if you want to take a minute and just reemphasize, I know you already mentioned it, but about the summit that you have coming up, and I think you have a resource that we'll put one of the resources right in the show notes. I'll also put Chris's contact information that he's mentioned right there. Definitely take time to go check out his beautiful website. You do have, Chris, like a lot of resources on your website. It's just, you're such a giver. Like truly how much you get is like, oh my gosh, how much you give away is amazing on there. So check that out. But yes, mention the summit one more time.
Sure. Well, thanks so much, Sherry, for the opportunity to be with your listeners. We are doing a free virtual summit on November 2nd. That is election day. So vote and attend our summit. That'll be 4 p.m. Eastern time with three-time New York Times bestselling author Bob Goff and myself around the topic of life calling. Go to lifecallingsummit.com. That's lifecallingsummit.com to register. If you can't attend live, okay, because if you register, you'll get the recording afterwards. And we will be announcing some very exciting things moving forward. So we'd love to have folks there. Sherry said too, we're going to be linking a comparison guide between strengths and the Enneagram right there in the show notes. And so if you want to see sort of different categories and how they compare to each other, go to that document in the show notes. And again, if I can do anything else for you, let me know at chris@chrishines.com. And my website is chrishines.com.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Chris, again, for being on the show. And we can put the link for the summit too, because who doesn't want to, especially this time of year, it's a great time of year to really just take advantage of the free summits and get in a great place as before we head into the holiday season and into the new year. It's going to be here before we know it.
That's true. That's true. Thanks, Sherry, so much for inviting me. It was a blessing and a pleasure.
Thank you. Well, that concludes our conversation today with Chris Hines. And I hope, as always, that you walked away with a different thought or something practical that you can implement into your day. Or maybe it's just that you want to go take the Enneagram and the Strengths assessment now. You can never learn too much about yourself. So I want to finish up because I totally forgot at the end of the podcast recording to ask Chris what his favorite book was and his leadership quote. So I wanted to share those with you now and also let you know what's on deck for our next episode. So Chris did mention in the podcast a book called Make Your Job a Calling by Brian Dick and Ryan Huffy. So that was the book that he wanted to recommend. And he's giving us a quote from that that says, "Across all occupations, those with a calling orientation were more satisfied with their current work and with life in general and scored highest on a measure of zest, defined as the habitual approach to life with anticipation, energy, and excitement." So I don't know about you, but I would love to have more zest in my life. That's what we all want, right? So thank you again, Chris, for being our guest today. And next week, we will be talking with another strengths coach, Dr. V, and she's going to be doing a little comparison on how DISC, the D-I-S-C assessment, and strengths are similar and different, and how she's seen them used in her own practice with her clients and even with herself. So it's going to be a lively conversation. So we will see you back here, or you'll hear us back here next week. Same time on Mondays. Don't miss an episode. Make sure you hit the follow button and you'll get notified when the new episode does drop on Monday mornings. Thanks again. And as always, go out and enjoy this journey of life. My hope and prayer is that today's episode left you feeling inspired and empowered with some tangible steps to implement today. But honestly, the podcast is just the beginning. Through my coaching, my clients learn how to lean into their strengths to create their unique style of leadership, along with gaining strategies to create dynamic and productive teams, teams with a mutual passion and respect for each other. Whether you just need a few small course corrections or you feel like you need an entirely new shift to lead, I do love a challenge. I'd love to invite you to send me a DM, or better yet, let's hop on a call and see how we can continue this leadership journey together. The link to book a call is in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you.